The Golden Globes are Sunday. One surprising nominee for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy may be the British independent film Pride, which was somewhat overlooked when it opened last fall. It takes place during the long and bitter coal miner strike of 1984, in which British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher faced off with hungry striking miners. In an unlikely but true turn of events, the miners found solidarity with a band of young gays and lesbians from London who'd had their own quarrels with the Prime Minister and who would soon be facing their own scourge, AIDS. At the beginning of Pride, the group Lesbians and Gays Supports the Miners go on a road trip to meet the miners they've been collecting money for.
All aboard the Deviants bus. No pushing, no community singing.
And absolutely no back-chatting the driver. Right, where are we going? Wales?
Well, Wales and its mining community of Dulice would never be the same. You can check out Pride because it's now out on DVD. We spoke to director Matthew Warchus and screenwriter Stephen Beresford when the film was first released. We began by asking Stephen to tell us about when he first pitched this idea to producers. They were British, presumably knew their history, but we'd heard that even they didn't believe that Pride was a true story.
Well, nobody did. It's one of those stories that I carried around for a very long time. I was told it when I was about 20, 21 years old in about 1995, and it was in the second round of pit closures. Really, the John Major's government was finishing what Margaret Thatcher's government had started.
And for our American listeners, a pit is a coal mine.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And I was having an argument with somebody about that, and I said, why should I support the miners? They don't support me. Mm. And handed him the argument on a plate, really, because he was then able to say, well, let me tell you this story. And I thought, that's a movie. It's got to be made into a film. I just thought it was incredible.
And you put that line that you spoke in the film in many
yeah.
mouths, you know, why should
that's
I support
right,
them?
Yeah.
yeah. Because remind us of these times, 84, this is very early days of a gay pride movement. Remind us of what the expected tension between these communities would be.
The particular community that the group chose, and it's one of the charming things about this group of young people, and I say this with respect, but they were amateurs. They were, you know, there was nothing planned or slick. They chose a community to support, and they accidentally chose the most remote, the most old-fashioned, working-class, gritty community that probably they could. So it really was chalk meeting cheese.
Well, let's listen to a little of a video that the group made back in the 80s, the LGSM, or Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners.
When you think about it, it's quite illogical to actually say, well, I'm gay, and I'm into defending the gay community, but I don't care about anything else. It's ludicrous. It's important that if you're defending communities, that you also defend all communities and not just one.
And Stephen Beresford, you found some of them now in their 60s.
Yeah. At the end of the film, there was a credit, and I froze the screen, and I just looked through the names to find really unusual names that I could cross-reference with Facebook. And there was somebody on there called Reggie Blennerhassett. So I had a look on Facebook, and there he was. And I sent him a message, and I said, were you in Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners in 1984? And this message came straight back, and he said, I haven't been asked that question for 30 years, but yes, I was, and how can I help you?
Yeah.
And he really opened the door. So then they'd all kept in touch wonderfully. So bit by bit, I started to meet the key people and sort of debrief them for their stories.
And find these stories that are in the film that were true. For instance, as these two groups became close, the miners' wives, for instance, made the trip from Wales to London to cavort through the gay underground with their new best friends. That's true, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Going up to Wales to meet them was extraordinary. And these fantastic, you know, women who have a tremendous sense of humour are very, very funny. And they would show me these photographs and say, well, here's me in heaven, the gay nightclub, and here's me in a lesbian bar. You know, delighted, so thrilled with the experience. And it was very empowering for them as women as well.
Yeah.
Meeting the gay people had an effect on them. It changed the way they saw their own role, really, within their own community.
Well, they empowered each other. Matthew Warchus, you were 18 at the time of this year-long strike, and I read, lived near a coal-fired plant. You use newsreels in your film to flesh out the story, but I imagine also your own memories.
Yes, certainly. When I first read the script, one of the first things that struck me was how authentic the village in Wales felt. It doesn't rely on cliches and generalizations. It really is, it's got an authentic and truthful feeling about it. And yeah, I recognize that because I grew up in a village, not in Wales, but in the north of England, North Yorkshire. Because of that, it was one of the things I was anxious to get right, and so I wouldn't betray those communities.
And it's hard when the real life story is almost cliched. You know, we're reading in the Mirror that the first time these two groups met, these young, freewheeling gays and lesbians and these working-class miners and their families, there was this stunned silence as they faced each other like aliens. Then one miner starts applauding these young people, and then they all join in. What a stunning moment that would have been for your film as well, but then your film would have been over. So, so yeah. It's sort of as if the real-life version was too good to be true.
You're right. I had to be suspicious of that, really, and it was my job to dig deeper. Yeah. And one of the things that the Delice community did, whatever happened, they were going to ensure that their visitors, whether or not they were welcomed by everybody, were protected from anything that would have offended or upset them. Mm-hmm. And I think that spontaneous round of applause partly comes from that. Later, when I spoke to some of the women, they said, well, you know, there was a meeting to discuss whether or not to even take their money. There was homophobia. There were people who stayed away or who were told to stay away, who strongly objected to them as a group. So once I dug in and started to get the real details, that's when you're able to sort of veer away from cliche.
Yeah, there were tensions there. Well, we want to listen to the scene where Dai, one of the miners, actually a spokesperson, meets the leaders of the LGSM for the very first time.
This money you've raised, that's all from gays and lesbians?
Mostly.
Right. There we are.
This is just the beginning.
Oh, mm-hmm. You've got big plans. Well, I'm not going to pretend I'm not surprised. You could see that. Truth told, you're the first geese I've ever met in my life.
As far as you're aware.
That's true.
And you're the first miner I've ever met.
Matthew, why do you think these two groups became so close?
Stephen uses a quote, which is that prejudice can't survive proximity. It helped enormously that these two groups had common ground and they had a bigger fight, really, which is to survive, to eat, and fight for their communities and the life of those communities.
It's often hilarious, but it's also heartbreaking. The miners lose. The AIDS outbreak is around the corner. We don't want to give anything away, but we become close to characters that aren't going to survive, and that's heartbreaking. But there's also this hope in the air. And Matthew, it's expressed a lot through music. This was the 80s. There's music like Shame, 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 meaning don't be ashamed. What were you trying to say through the music?
What's important to me is that even though the immediate battle of the strike is lost, and of course AIDS takes its toll, the nevertheless, the efforts of these combined communities, the things they did together when they met, have a legacy that lives on. And that's one of the things that's incredibly uplifting and empowering. As you watch this film, you do feel inspired, I think, to do something and understand that even a small thing, just a change in the way you think, can make a big difference at some point.
Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.